This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're headed to lunar orbit with a unique system called Capstone and its Rocket Lab's genius, the Photon Rocket. Bob Zimmerman is here to help us understand not only how it works to lunar orbit, but can work to any orbit going forward. Bob, I did not focus on this, and I apologize. Now, having read your brief and having looked at pictures, I understand that Rocket Lab, launching out of New Zealand, I believe, has a new way of reaching the moon and Mars and beyond. Explain, please, Bob. Good evening to you.
Sure. Rocket Lab, this mission, Capstone, is interesting for a lot of reasons. So let's start with the rocket. The rocket was launched, the Capstone was launched on Rocket Lab's Electron rocket, which is a small sat rocket. It's not designed to put big satellites in orbit, and it's really not designed to do anything but put things in low Earth orbit. And those satellites are generally small sats, CubeSats, NanoSats, very small. But Rocket Lab wanted to be able to do interplanetary missions, wanted to be able to launch small sats to Venus and the moon and beyond. So they developed a special upper stage they call Photon, which attaches to Electron and to the payload. And once the Electron gets the whole thing in orbit, Photon and the payload separate, and Photon then uses its engines to raise the orbit of its small sat payload until it reaches a point where it escapes the Earth's gravity, or at least it gets to a position where it will eventually escape the Earth's gravity. And so that's what they did, and this is privately designed, and Photon's designed to do more than just simply this particular mission. Now, Capstone is interesting for other reasons. It is a CubeSat. It is a mini small sat, and that's doing an interplanetary mission. And we've seen a few of these last few years, but they're going to come on in increasing amounts because CubeSats are cheap and quick and easy, and they don't cost a lot to launch, and the miniaturization is allowing them to do more and more stuff that big satellites were once required to do. So Capstone's going to go to the moon, and it's going to get into an orbit that's comparable to what the Lunar Gateway station is supposed to be in. And this orbit, it's a test of that orbit itself, test of operations in that orbit, test of communications, and at the same time testing whether a small sat can test those things. What makes this mission even more interesting is not only was it launched privately, NASA paid for the launch, didn't provide a rocket, but NASA didn't build Capstone. NASA hired two different companies to both build it and operate it. It was built by a company called Terran Orbital, which specializes in CubeSat satellite construction for anyone who wants one. You know, you got an idea, you want to put up a satellite, rather than have to build it yourself, you hire Terran Orbital and they'll build it for you. So they built this for NASA, but NASA is not operating it. It's going to be in lunar orbit, but it's going to be operated by a private company called Advanced Space, who is focusing on providing in-space operations for others. So therefore, Mission Control is not Houston. Mission Control is Advanced Space. So this is a completely private mission paid for by NASA, and it's to the moon. And that's what makes it really cool, John.
Bob, does this system work if it wants to go to Mars or the asteroid belt, same system?
Photon was initially developed by Rocket Lab for a mission it wishes to do as a company to Venus. Rocket Lab wants to put its own mission to Venus. This is kind of like Peter Beck, the head of CEO, founder of Rocket Lab. It's his, while Elon Musk wants to go to Mars, Peter Beck wants to go to Venus. And so that's what they're doing. So, yes, it can be used for interplanetary.
Starlink is a product of the understanding that people in rural sections of the planet do not have confidence for Internet connection. But starting with that simple idea, they've now got FCC approval for what, Bob?
Moving vehicles. This includes cars, trucks, boats, and aircraft. The FCC has approved SpaceX's Starlink constellation of satellites for Internet access in rural areas, but now also to be installed as routers on these moving vehicles. There have been tests already and several plane companies have already signed Starlink up to provide airline Wi-Fi on flights. But now they've been approved by the FCC, and so that's going forward. Very soon, you'll be able to even get a modem, and they offer this already. You can get a modem that can attach to your car, and you can get actually Wi-Fi in your car. I think it's a higher rate than the in-at-home service, but you can get it. On top of that, the FCC also rejected a request by the ground-based Dish Network, a competitor of Starlink. Dish had requested that one of the wavelengths that Starlink wants to use be blocked, so they can use it. FCC rejected that, so Starlink and OneWeb will go forward with what the wavelength they wish, John.
We go to the launch industry, and the question here is, how does this connect with an essay Bob published many years ago? This looks very much in keeping with your vision, Bob, or have they gotten ahead of you yet?
Well, no, you're on the money. The year's half over, and so I did an essay giving a quick rundown of where the launch industry in this year is. And basically in 22, the rocketry is going to break records all across the board. We're already almost broke last year's numbers for the United States. At the pace we're setting, they're going to break the record that was set last year for the most launches in a single year. And these numbers are really big, and they're all coming from private enterprise, because the United States by itself leads the rest of the world in launches. You combine everybody else's launches, and the U.S. still has more launches. And those are not government launches in the U.S. These are all private enterprise, all private launches, like Rocket Lab. So private enterprise is putting the U.S. way ahead of everybody else, and the numbers are gigantic. And this is something I wrote about, John, 15, 20 years ago. In fact, my first book, Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, I talked about how private enterprise is how we're going to do it. And that's how it's happening. And this ties into the new colonial movement. That was the essay you're referring to, John. Europe this week announced a new long-term space strategy for its effort to do things in space. And this space strategy is very strongly impacted by the partnership breakup with Russia. They were doing a joint mission with Russia to Mars, an unmanned rover, Franklin rover. That mission was supposed to launch this year. When that partnership broke up, the Europe suddenly discovered it had no way to launch or land its own rover. And so they announced this new space strategy, and it has two major components. Number one, their goal is to be autonomous. They want, in the long run, to develop their own rockets and their own technologies to do their own missions in space, including manned. Up to now, Europe has depended entirely on Russian and American rockets and spacecraft to get its astronauts into space and to use a partnership with us, our space station. They don't want to do that anymore. They actually want to find a way to do it all themselves down the road, and their target for accomplishing this is 2030, the next decade. And the second component of this strategy is they are going to be emulating what the United States has done and what was recommended in my 2017 policy paper, Capitalism in Space. They're no longer going to build anything, but they're instead going to let private enterprise supply their needs. And the quote, ESA will be a customer and not an owner of infrastructure. This is just like NASA. They will buy the product from private companies that will own what they build and therefore can sell it to others. And so that's the strategy, and it's a twofold thing, and it's basically topping what the United States is doing because they recognize this works. Capitalism and competition work.
Are they going to go for reusable, Bob? Have they indicated?
Yes, that's the next step. In fact, in connection with this same week, Ariana Group, which is building the Ariana 6 rocket for the European Space Agency, it was chosen by the European Commission, and the European Commission is essentially the bureaucratic boss of the European Space Agency. It selected Ariane Group to focus on building reusable rockets, and it's a two-part program. One, they're going to be doing test flights of a reusable first stage, learning how to land vertically. Gee, that's something that's impossible, I thought. And the second thing they're going to do is they're going to focus on introducing reusable rockets using methane and hydrogen as the fuel. Methane is more likely what they're going to end up with. Hydrogen is very difficult to work with, but methane is already proven by SpaceX with its Raptor engine, and so others are picking it up as well. It's a little bit more ecologically friendly. And so that's part of this. Ariana Group is being chosen by Europe to build this. They'll own it, and therefore they can sell those rockets to others. That's the idea.
NASA is charging the People's Republic of China. The suspicion here is that the People's Republic of China does not share. It has a military program that's conjoined with its civilian program. What is NASA's concern, Bob?
This was statements by NASA's administrator, Bill Nelson, over the weekend to a German newspaper. He said, quote, "We must be very concerned that China is landing on the moon and saying it's ours now and you stay out." He also pointed out that, quote, "China is good, but China is also good because they steal ideas and technology from others." None of this is really false. China won't claim the whole moon when it lands there, but it's certainly going to take full possession of wherever it every spot it occupies, even though that really is in violation to the Outer Space Treaty. I will tell you that it's not really any different from what the United States and its partners in the Artemis program are going to do either. Whoever takes the possession of any spot is going to hold it. But China didn't like being accused of these things, so one of its spokesmen for its foreign ministry came back and slammed Nelson's comments, saying, they are only interested in the peaceful use of outer space. Well, that's all hogwash. They are definitely going to claim territory, and they definitely do steal technology, and we should be aware of that, John.
Bob, a detail about the Chinese program. The structural problem is that it's a military program, correct? That's why we can't work with it. And and China keeps it military, though it would be straightforward if they are genuinely interested in peace to separate them.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, there's no doubt about this. That China treats its space program as a civilian benefit for its nation, but every piece of technology developed is considered a potential military asset. And so when they steal technology to build a Mars lander, that technology can be applied and is applied immediately to its military.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring the surface of Mars next. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.